Inspirado Proyecto, what's really good, my man? It's Reesh from Medicine Remix with a belated reply and thank you for that amazingly inspired Medicine Remixed theme song that you clearly put all of your amazing talents to good use to create for us. And we truly appreciate you showing us love in that way, and we appreciate your support. Definitely let us know if there's anything that you want us to talk about on the show. And otherwise, keep doing the damn thing, man. You sound like a talented dude. Peace.
Yeah, the man said it. The man said it. That was a nice message from Medicine Remix Podcast. Yet another podcast I sang a theme song for. As many of you know, I've been going through these podcasts here on Anchor FM, looking through the directory of podcasts, picking one. And for any of you who have Anchor, and you'd like to collaborate with people, I'd say look for a podcast in the directory, go to their page, and you'll see a little button up there that says message, and you can push it. It looks like a little plus sign. Push it. You get a minute to say whatever you want to them. And if they feel so inspired, they can actually include it as a segment into their podcast. So what I've been doing is I've been making tons of theme songs for these folks right off the top of my head. Some of them are 15 seconds, some are 5, some are who knows how long. So I made a nice little theme song for Medicine Remix, and a couple of podcasts ago we had a nice message from Undies Funded Podcast. Oh yeah, that was at the beginning of my of the episode where let's see, was it after I got out of the car with the Uber driver, the magician? It's not one of those, but thank you so much, you guys, for the well wishes, and also for including this stuff in your podcast. I appreciate that. What you're about to hear, ladies and gentlemen, creatures, aliens, apparitions, and high-vibrating beings that perhaps we cannot see or measure right now with the instruments we have. We are about to hear part one of the extraordinary conversation I had with Doug and Roxanne, fellow Lynch fans, while we were there waiting for the David Lynch book signing at the Ace Hotel, which is phenomenal. Because what does Coop say? Coop says, aces. Have you seen the meme? He's got his thumb up. So without further ado, and definitely without further adon't, here comes part one of the David Lynch book signing episode. Keep that in mind. Okay, so if you don't mind, tell me about your...
Okay, sure. So, so it's kind of a funny thing is that I was actually invited to one of my friends from second grade's birthday. So it's his 41st birthday. I'm 40 and he's 41, right? So that was weird already, but, you know, social media allows that to happen. So I went, and one of the reasons I went is because he said my very best friend from first and second grade was going to be there. So when I saw him and I talked to him again, it was amazing, but... One of the first things I said is, where do you live nowadays? And he said, I live in Glendora. And he started explaining where Glendora was, but I said, no, I know where Glendora is. I started seeing this girl, and she lives close to Glendora in West Covina. First thing he said was, what high school did she go to? Which is kind of weird. So I'm like, I don't know, I'll ask her. So I ask her, and he's like, is it Southgate? I think it was the name. And so I waited, and then, like, a text popped up, and it's like, I went to Southgate. And I said, yeah. And then he's like, oh, like, my wife was assistant principal there. for a number of years, you know, like for 4 years or something, not very long. He's like, she's probably like not young enough to have had her. And, but you know, you can, I'm like, well, I can ask her. She was there. I mean, she is young, so, you know, she may have been there. So I'm like, what's her name? And she said, yeah, Assistant Principal Harrison. So I said, did you know an Assistant Principal Harrison? She didn't get back to me for a while, and we didn't talk about it for a while. But then later on, she's like, I'm not sure. Give me a picture. So I sent a picture of, like, my best friend and his wife, you know, from his Instagram or whatever. And she's like, yeah, she was there. And so I let him know. And it was the kind of thing where, like, it was later in the night, and he kind of, like, was like, yeah, okay. And then, like, she didn't even care. She was like, yeah, like, I avoided her because she's the principal. You know what I mean? And I'm like, and it was the kind of thing where I'm, like, left, like, this is crazy. Like, yeah, this is, like, yeah. My best friend from, like, when I was, like, you know, 9 years old or even younger, sorry, like, 6 years old, whatever. And it's, like, it was the first thing he said is, yeah. You know, what high school she got to. So then, a few days later, I was at this art event in San Francisco. And my friend introduced me to other friends. And this one girl who was her coworker, she said, oh, I'm from Chino Hills. And I'm like, oh. And I was going to say it's close to West Covina where my girlfriend's from. Then the other girl said, I'm from West Covina. And I said, oh, well, what high school did you go to? She said, I went to Southgate. So it was, just, and then, like, that's what I mean. Like, it was just, that was, like, 3 days later, 4 days later. So, like, the second one wasn't as strong as the first one, but it was, like, a aftershock or reverberation.
It was, like, a callback to it. Like, hey, yeah, remember that cool thing that...
Yeah, and so I texted her. I'm like, I just met this girl. She went to your high school. And now that was already in the front of my mind because it was, you know, so... Mm-hmm. So
that's you know too much about the high school.
Did she happen to know her? Yeah.
No. That was from years before, so she didn't know her.
God, this is just astounding. Yeah.
But, I mean, that was, like... And this was just all... I mean, that was about 5 days ago. The other one was about a week ago. So, yeah, this is all very recent. But it's the latest in a series of things like that.
Well, and the cool thing is, now that we're talking about this... We're stirring it up.
Yeah,
There's
going to
be a lot more of it.
We'll see what else is happening around this high school.
We're going to have a football game at Southgate or something.
Yeah. Exactly. It's crazy. Anyway, it's like we just shook up the hornet's nest now. Yeah. Everything's going to be crazy now. These kinds of things, you know, I used to write, every once in a while, I was, for a while there, I was writing down all my synchronicities and my dreams. And I was noticing that while I was writing down a synchronicity concerning those that would happen while I was writing it down. So then I'd have to put a parenthesis and go, oh my God, right now, this thing just happened while I was writing this thing down. And I had to put the parenthesis and then finish the story of that other synchronicity. And I think it was just... It was like a freaking, you know, you add a snowflake to a snowflake, and before you got to know, you got a snowball, and you keep rolling that. You're like, what the hell? So it was like that kind of thing where you just could not ignore the momentum of it. I mean, it was like an avalanche. And it was crazy because I was substitute teaching at that time. So I was telling the kids about this. And so then the kids started writing. They would come up to me, and they were like, I started a journal too. And so they would come up to me and then they would read to me out of their journals. They would start telling me about this stuff. And they were just as equally astonished, which was so exciting to me.
How old were they?
These were like 10 and 11-year-olds.
Oh, what kind of synchronicities did they see? What's your favorite one?
One kid said, and I was just leaving, and he comes running up to me because he saw me across the campus. He's like, oh, Mr. C, I got a synchronicity book now. I'm writing them down. He's like, okay. And he's like, he's going through it. And he's like, just yesterday, I was thinking, how neat would that be if the sun came through and it created this shadow in the trees? And right at that moment, the sun peeked right around the corner, right when I was just thinking about it. And I'm going, oh my God, please keep this up. Please keep this up.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It's like the cheapest thrill, right? Ever. And it's the best. It's the best thing ever.
Yeah.
It's the best thing ever.
It is better sharing it. And I feel like it's more fun, especially when I have a lover, too. So randomly, I was just dating someone in Germany, but we'd be like... I'd talk a lot, and I'd be like, this and this, and then he would notice things where he wasn't even like that, but he would be like, oh, I saw this, I just talked about so many things that it was hard for him to not find synchronicities.
Yeah, I'm like,
and I like these shows like this, and I saw this and this, and he'd be like, it's so weird you just said that because, like, some bird that we just saw, like, flew, and he would be in Germany, in like 9 hours ahead of me. And I always thought that was really
cool. Oh, God, yeah. Oh,
of that
yeah.
That connection and that bond we had, where it's like I felt like I had eyes in a different country.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And that feeling.
It's awesome. It's awesome because it's like you're tuned into that same radio station at that moment. You're both listening to that same song.
Exactly. Yeah. And I feel with lovers, it's that much more okay. If somebody wants to play that game with you, because they also have to be open. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, I was talking about like a long time ago, I was really in love with someone. She was in LA and I was in the Bay Area.
Oh, okay.
And I swear, it was the weirdest thing. That year that we were apart, every moment... It was raining in one place, it was raining in the other place. Like, the entire year. And it was really weird because then I just assumed that was the case after a while. Like, I just accepted it. And so whenever it was, like, raining, I'd call her up and I'm like, oh, it's raining here. I wouldn't even suggest it. And she's like, well, it's raining here right now. And then it's weird because since then, it actually is stuck in my head now that it's always raining in, like, San Francisco and LA at the same time. But it hasn't been true since that... year that we were connected. You know,
God, that's so exciting.
Yeah,
that is so exciting.
So,
oh my God, and it's great too, especially like when you've got, like, I mean, it's, you know, it's beautiful when you can notice it yourself and it's happening to you. But then, you're like you're saying, you can share it with someone else, and then what happens? And especially, and then if you add another person into it, and then it's like the force gets stronger and stronger.
Sure.
I was at this. I was at this festival for like 4 or 5 days. It was called Love Seed. And it was the first time that I'd ever been in a situation where everywhere I went, people were talking about high vibrating conscious things. And
so if we could have everybody just get back in the seats for the time being. We're going to get started right now. Start down here. Once we get finished up here, we're all ADA. We will then actually start releasing row by row. So just know, be patient, obviously. A lot of people to get through. There is a possibility that we might need to take a break shortly at some point. At some point, so just keep that in mind as well. So thanks for your patience ahead of time. All right, great.
There's this one specific time that was crazy. There's some volunteers that showed up to help out, and it was the last day of this thing, and I was kind of helping out, like I was enjoying the festival, but also I was there to help my friend, like, with the tickets and all this jazz. But it was the last day, and this girl goes, "Oh my gosh, my headlamp, my favorite headlamp!" It was like one of those, you know, like one of those, like,
oh yeah, the strap-on.
Yeah, and she's like, "Oh my gosh, it's my favorite one," and I let one of the volunteers borrow it. His name is like Jason or something. If you happen to find it, can you? You know, I don't know. I don't know what to do. And I'm like, oh, do not worry. I will find that thing. There were like 3,000 people at this festival. And I said, I will find it. You give me your address. I will mail that to you. And I'm like, this is my mission. And because I had so many examples in my head of during that time of just like the speed of light kind of things just happening immediately. So I'm walking around and I got the antennas open and these guys, and she had left already. And it was about an hour or so. And I'm walking through and I hear these two guys talking to each other like, oh yeah, and then Jason's like this, and I go, I ran over to him, and I go, okay, is your buddy Jason, is he a volunteer? Is he one of the volunteers? And they go, oh yeah. I go,
one more time.
He's one of the volunteers?
Yeah.
And they go, yeah. I go, well, can you take me to him right now? And so they marched me over there, and I go, Jason, you have a headlamp, don't you? And he goes, yeah. And he goes, I was looking for that girl. And I said, well, I'm the guy who's going to give that girl that headlamp. Yeah. And so he gave it. I'm like, yeah, I did it.
Yes. Oh,
and it was like such a, like, oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yeah, and so then I sent it to her in the mail. And I'm like, I really hope she's understanding, like, how freaking magical thing is. Because my head was exploding. Oh, God.
Thank you.
It was so fun. Oh, you're welcome.
It's funny when you know, though. Like I've done that a couple times. When you say, you kind of, like, make a promise to someone.
Yeah.
Or, like, actually, what that reminds me of is one time... So I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area. My family never left, so I never saw snow. Because it doesn't snow in the immediate Bay Area. I mean, snow's, like, 2 hours away in Tahoe or whatever. So, anyway, like, when I was 20 years old, me and my girlfriend at the time, we were going to move to Germany for her study abroad. So I'm like, before I go, I'm going to see snow out there. So I want to see snow, like, here. You know what I mean? So it was my first experiences here. So we drove out to Mammoth Lakes because the only place I knew where there was snow, I didn't even know what Tahoe was. So anyway, that's how like isolated I was. So we drove out there, and immediately there was like snow. There was stuff to do, but then I like realized I was very ill-equipped. And one of the things I wanted to do was like touch and feel the snow and play with it, but I realized it'd make my hands very cold very quickly. But we were like 20 years old. We have zero money. I mean, I just graduated college. Like it was just like, and so we went into a supermarket. And I'm like, I really want gloves, but I don't have any money. I'm like, okay, this is the thing. It's like, I'm like, I have a, here's these gloves, they're $10, and I have $1. So I told my girlfriend, I'm like, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to buy a scratcher with this $1. I'm going to win enough to get the gloves.
Oh, my God.
And I told her that. I'm like, this is what's going to happen because it needs to happen.
Oh, dude. That's
brilliant. So like, and it was so weird that I was so confident. I was kind of playing with it.
Freaking sorcery. You just wave your magic wand.
Exactly. So I bought a scratcher. I scratched off, and it literally was a $10 winner.
Oh, my God.
And
dude.
But very casually. I wouldn't even, like, I just, like, showed her, and then I went up to the thing. I redeemed it, and then I, like, just handed them the gloves. They rung it up, you know.
She didn't freak out?
I mean, I don't know. She thought... Yeah, like no one ever freaks out enough.
I don't like when people don't freak out appropriately.
They don't freak out appropriately. That's a brilliant way of putting it. Yeah,
did in a weird way, but because I was so confident about it and it just happened, I think she didn't know what to really do, you know?
Like that shit. But I'm manifesting, and then someone's just like that. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. You know what? Now I do know how Jesus felt.
Yeah,
when you turn it all into wine, and you're all,
you've
never even done anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really playing it off.
Right. Yeah. Like it's just a natural thing.
Say,
like,
I still have the feeling right now as I talk about it. Like, yeah. Like,
I'm excited now. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
being a little disappointed that it wasn't appreciated for like, what actually happened.
Well,
but
I'm sorry.
It's fine.
You.
Yeah, it's
sorry.
Okay. Well, your excitement now
makes up for it. Good. Yeah.
One. Now I can remember one. I guess this is a synchronicity, but I was by myself, so I didn't really feel like anyone.
No one to share it with.
I freaked out appropriately enough.
Oh, good.
So I really wanted to learn how to sail, and this was like 2003. So people were using the internet, but not as wildly. You could crew up, send someone a DM or whatever. There was like a website, and I randomly met this older British dude. I think I was like 22 or 23, who owned a boat and was teaching people how to sail for $25 a day. Yeah, this was clearly a 15 years ago. Yeah. And then, so...
Like, off California?
No, off the coast of Turkey. And Arizona. I had, like, decided I was a lesbian temporarily. And, like, this chick who was a costume designer got me just enough money on this, like, one-sentence speaking part to go on a trip. So that's how I got this trip money. So... I just went and I like thought I had all my ducks in a row, I had my passport, everything was all settled, but when I got to Turkey, I realized that I didn't write down the address. I like was just in the town. I didn't write down the phone number or the address, like I just got
to
the town.
Where you needed to go?
Yeah.
Whoa, okay.
And I also was trying to film a pilot for a travel show, because I always got into situations just like this.
Yeah.
And I was like, this would be funny, but I always got myself out, and I was never scared. And I went by myself to Turkey. I had no fucking speak of like Turkish. So I decided, well, okay, I'm just going to do this weird thing where now I talk to my camera about all the things that are going wrong. All night vision. I'm like, well, I guess I'm by myself. I'm just going to hang out in Dalaman, the city I'm in, and just see what happens. The next morning, I've resolved that I'm going to hang out by myself, and I just walked down the main street, which is not that big of a crazy street, and just start walking, and then I see a tree and there's a note, and I was like, that's for me. And I went up to it and it just said my name big and told me I was just to meet there literally like 20 minutes from when I had just walked there.
Whoa.
So I went, I got sunscreen and like went back and just was there 20 minutes later. But nobody was there to like get excited that I wasn't stranded. I just was really excited.
Wait, your name was written down on a tree?
It was just like Roxanne on a note with like one fucking nail on it.
What the hell?
But did they leave it there like thinking that you...
I don't even know, but it was just like... It was like...
What the heck?
I just like meet
the sailing person? Did they know you were coming into town?
He knew I was coming into town, but like, but I didn't tell him where I was staying or anything.
What the heck?
Because communication wasn't that.
That's
now
what I'm saying.
Here.
Like,
now I'm here. Now I'm here.
Like, was there an email sent earlier saying like we're gonna meet around this block or something? That
what the heck? What the heck?
Yeah.
That's not really, at really, all. Really. I just.
When you went to meet up with the sailor.
Then I told him. He was just like, I don't know. He's like, I just put it there.
Oh my god.
He was just an older British guy. He used to be a millionaire. He was in his 50s or 60s.
So he didn't even.
He just felt like the Knight of Legend. I mean, I don't know.
Oh my god.
But yeah, no, I mean, there's no reason.
That's crazy.
I have been really resolved in just being like, I'm just going to hang out at this, like, because it's on the coast. It's a beach town, anyways. But
yeah.
And yeah, there's like a big street, but there were several trees.
Yeah.
I could have like not walked.
But you said when you saw it, you knew it was for you.
Yeah, I was just like, I'm gonna go. Maybe I'm just fucking nosy. But I just went. I was like, no way, no way.
Yeah.
Most people didn't even speak English because it was such a small town in Turkey that I couldn't even like bro out with somebody in their language about it. I just had to be glad that I wasn't stranded.
I mean, when you're in that situation, when you have nothing more. You only have the universe and this notes that it leaves for you and all those.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just incredible.
It happened a couple of times on that trip. Like, I had started following a giant, like a little like Serbian giant. I was like attracted to it. I was like, fuck it. Like, just follow him around.
A giant?
Yeah.
Wait, how tall was this person?
He was almost 8 feet tall.
Whoa, that was a giant. Yeah.
I
thought you said a little giant. I was trying to figure it out.
Yeah. I didn't even realize I said
what the heck? This is incredible. So you follow up the story of seeing a note, random tree note, was following a giant? What the heck is this going to escalate to next?
Yeah. I got off the boat to follow him. And it ended up he was staying in this male-only hostel in Turkey. I was like trying to hang off the balcony. I really wanted it.
Wow, really?
I really was hanging off the balcony.
Were you able to make anything happen or no?
No, nothing happened. No. Randomly because of Instagram, I can see what he's doing now.
Oh, good. So you're still following the giant.
He's married as a kid. Yeah, because I had to tell the story. And then I was like, randomly, I still remembered his last name.
Oh,
and I looked it up, and he's like married. He just had a baby girl.
That's a little
Keijo Samardzyski. Yeah.
How the heck did you even meet the giant?
Well, so what had happened was, I was finally on the boat for a couple stops. We stopped in this one town, and there was nobody my age for a lot of these stops. So finally there was like a guy, and his family owned the only restaurant at this stop. And I was like, I'll stay here for a couple days. And he's like, yeah, I'll show you around. He's like, nobody's here. You can stay in my family's hotel for free. Well, naive me, nothing's free. Nothing's free.
Nothing's free.
So we did. We had all this time. And then one of the last nights that I was there, we went to, there's just one area called Bar Street because no one's supposed to drink in Turkey. You get in trouble, especially if you're a female, due to the religious.
Was it the expat street?
Yeah, it's called Bar Street. Yeah, all this crazy stuff. So we went into one bar. And the guy I'm with is really, there's nothing more to talk about in our language, except like we're just not really connected anymore, but I'm there and he's nice. And then I just see on the dance floor like a bunch of British girls screaming and running to one side of the dance floor. And then I just see a giant dancing and they're like running away from him dancing.
Like screaming like...
And they go, ah! And then they run the other way. They go, ah! And then they run the other way. And he's just trying to dance.
Oh, my God.
And he's a really proportionate giant. Real good looking. And I go, I mean, he's proportionate. I don't know what the problem is.
Yeah.
I don't know why you're running away from this giant, good looking man. Mm-hmm. He had, like, black hair and green eyes. Like, really handsome.
Yeah.
So I just had two drinks and I went up to him and I go, I'm not scared of you, giant.
Wow.
And that's awesome. I just started dancing on him.
Well, that's awesome.
And he was stoked.
I'm not scared of you, giant.
That's a good joke.
And then he's like, listen to the sounds. That's incredible. There's a total Lynchian moment that you experienced.
Yeah, and then we went to Bar Street together. I tried to sneak in his hostel.
Yeah.
Didn't work. Ended up taking a cab back.
Oh, so
that's when I realized you don't ride in the front seat of a cab in Turkey. That means you're going to pay with sex.
Oh shit.
Why don't they let you know these things before you get in the cab?
Well, I looked in my book after, and then it did say that, but it was a small, it was an emergency. I just had to get the fuck home. So anyways, I was there the next morning at the hotel. I get a knock, and it's that guy's grandmother, and she has a bill for me for the room, everything.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And I was like, okay. I was like, just give me 15 minutes. So I just packed all my shit.
Oh my
ran
God.
The fuck out of the hotel.
Really?
Yeah.
Because okay, the dude told you could stay for free, right?
Fuck that guy.
And
I wasn't mean to him or did anything wrong or whatever, but apparently, by me agreeing to stay in that hotel, he thought that I was agreeing to at some future point marry him.
Oh, okay.
That's what the grandma said.
So there seems to be a lot of these hidden agreements within these things that no one knows about until it's like, surprise, surprise.
Yeah. Till I'm breaking them. So then
we're not getting married.
Ran 2 miles down the street to a bus stop, and then some dude who I'd met a couple days prior was like, where are you going? And I was like, I gotta get the fuck out of here. And he goes, okay. He's like, well, I know this town. I like didn't have that much money.
Yeah.
So he took me to another town, drove me, and then I stayed with this family in their bed and breakfast for free for like 4 days. And I just like,
you didn't have to marry anyone?
Until you're about to leave and they go, oh, remember you're supposed to marry this guy.
They fed me. I just like helped clean. The daughter was like a lawyer, which was not that heard of at that time or in that place. And we just exchanged stories, and then I left there, and I think I went back home.
So the giant was only one night.
That was only one night.
Oh, okay.
No, it was two. I mean,
did you get
awesome that you still
and you got to sail?
I got to sail.
Yeah, I know.
This has so many little textures and vibrations, little delicious little nuggets hiding in there.
Yeah, that's
this
Cliff
is an
notes
astonishing
for sure.
Story. Wow.
That's like not even.
I have a lot of crazy
going to Turkey.
Stories.
Well, I mean, I think it's also, and I want to get to your stories.
I have to call back to the
fact that you said you just so happened to get a job out that took you out there.
Oh, that's
to
that's
Turkey?
Pretty crazy too. Yeah.
Yeah,
so you already had it in your
based
brain.
That was based on me living in a city where I basically thought that every dude that I would ever be attracted to, I had already met.
Oh, wow. That's just
and,
you...
well, in my mind, I was like, and I was like, I felt hopeless, really. So I started just dating this chick.
Oh, I see.
Which I then realized after her, nothing wrong with her, but that I was not a lesbian.
Yeah.
But she had gotten me this cool role where I was like, acting, yeah. It was like this 80s movie with like Topher Grace and like all these people. I was just acting.
So nowhere in this story do you mention like hanging out with people who like might speak your language or anything. So you were out there shooting this thing and yet going off and wandering into Turkey?
Yeah. Well, the movie thing happened in Arizona, and it was after I got paid. I just wanted to go. I mean.
Oh, so the movie thing wasn't in Turkey?
No.
Okay. Okay, no, that's good. Okay.
No, it was in Arizona.
Oh, gotcha.
Sorry, I'm still looking for this number, by the way. That's fine.
Right? I keep thinking we're going to get the fucking lucky number.
Yeah, so you were about to launch.
Yeah,
extraordinary...
I was going to say there was one of these stories where it was probably the most miraculous thing that ever happened to me, and I was alone, so there's literally no one I could talk to. But anyway,
yeah.
This is crazy, like. Layover. I spent some time in Bhutan, and I had a layover in Thailand that was a couple days, and I was in Bangkok, and I was there alone, never been to Thailand, and actually it was like, from being in the most amazing place in Bhutan, with like really amazing temperate climate, amazing people, it was like a life-changing trip there, and then landing in the middle of Bangkok, and it was like July 1st, and I had no idea like how hot, humid, miserable, crowded, I mean it's like I left a country of 800,000 people and dropped into like a city of like a million people. You know what I mean? So I was like pretty bummed out and I was not sure what to do. I was just staying in my room and I'm like, you know what? Like I'm in Thailand. I'm like, I got to get to an island. Like, you know, I'll just leave the city. I don't want to be in the city with all these people. So it was a little crazy because I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't have any connections or anything. I was staying in like a local hotel, so no one even could really help me. So I talked to someone eventually who said, well, you can go to this one place. No one really goes to the islands. It's too hot. So I'm like, they're like, they may be able to take you. So I didn't want to take like everything with me because I thought if I want to go swimming, which I love swimming in the ocean, I don't want to like, I don't know, I didn't want to leave stuff that people can steal, right? So I left everything. I left my passport and most of my stuff in the hotel room. I took a plastic baggie that I had in my toiletries bag. I put my ATM card, my driver's license, just so I have some ID, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then like some cash, like not a ton because I didn't think I needed a ton, but some cash. And I put it in the plastic baggie and I was wearing swim trunks. And so I just stuffed it in like the pocket of my swim trunks, which is like this little Velcro pocket. So anyway, it's kind of difficult. I hop on the back of a, you know, motor scooter to get out to the pier, negotiate with some people to take like a speedboat. Everything's a little more expensive. I know I'm trying to negotiate things down, but I'm like, I'm spending kind of like all the cash I have. But, right. You know, I'll open up to get back. I'll get out there. Finally get out there. I'm at Koh Samet Island. It's actually a nice resort island, but it is deserted. There's no one there. I mean, there's a couple restaurants still open, a couple places where you could stay, but like literally no one on the beach. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to make the best of this. I'm walking along the beach. I find where the water looks kind of clean. Does the water even look kind of dirty? And I'm like, you know, I'm going to swim. I'm going to do my thing. I love swimming. So
anyway, once you get to stay, just make sure your phone is in your pocket or away. So we can keep the line moving. Thank you very much.
Okay. So anyway, so I go over and I find this area beach. I put my little bag down, which is where I was going to put my shoes and my towel, right? And I set it down and I just go swimming. And now when I swim, I know it's like kind of stupid and it's just what I have to do. I like to swim as far out as I can so I can't see land
anymore.
Dude,
that's admirable. That's really admirable.
But I mean, it's like...
How do you not get twisted around?
I do. That's the thing. You know, yeah, yeah. That's the thing. I like to get... Because I like to feel it. A lot of feelings come out. I was telling you about this earlier.
Was sailing for me brought out. Like I looked at it and it was just the colors. Like it would change color blue. I'm like, I didn't know this fucking color blue existed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like the water
there's
does
8
change.
8 million fucking colors of blue. And then you see, you're just like, I had never been on... like that far away from a coast, like Catalina or something, but I never sailed like that far, and that wasn't even deep ocean.
Yeah,
we were
yeah.
still in a sea.
Yeah,
you know.
So, and for me, like, I'm not actually a great swimmer. I could tread water fine, I could stay afloat fine, but what I like is like getting out so far and actually getting exhausted,
oh my God.
Realizing that you're out there and it's like a sink or swim survival
kind of thing.
I usually do is then like I start making my way back. And I try to get my bearings. I try to get somewhat in the right direction. It's always difficult because
like
the current's
always...
like
you're escape rooming yourself.
Yeah. The current's always taking you out. You can get stuck in loops where you're like just swimming forever, not going anywhere.
Oh, God.
So anyway, when I'm on my way out there and all this stuff is happening, something occurs to me and I feel down in my pocket and I'm like, oh shit, my thing's gone.
Oh.
My little plastic baggie. And I hadn't eaten yet, like all day. And I'm like... whoa, like, and I'm in the middle of the ocean. I mean, like, way
yeah,
out there.
Yeah, that got real heavy.
So then I start swimming back a little bit more urgent than usual. And I get back and I look all over the beach. I'm like, it was in my pocket. I remember checking on the way out. It was there. I don't know. You know what I mean? Somehow it just worked its way out, you know? And then I'm, like, sitting on the beach and I'm like, okay, now I have nothing. Like, and I'm alone. And it's the middle of the day. I haven't eaten. I'm hungry. I mean, I just exhausted myself swimming in the ocean. I mean, I don't have anything. I don't have $1 of, you know, I don't have nothing. So I have, like, some clothes and my shoes and a towel. And I kind of sit there. Now, this is something else that a lot of stuff has happened in my life, and I've traveled a lot. I've done a lot of stuff. And, like, I do have, like, a very, very strong inner peace that no matter what, everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
I've already been in really, really, really dire situations in my life, and somehow everything is okay. So, like, deep inside, I'm kind of at peace. I'm like... it's fine. Like I've
you
been.
You don't
in,
know how, but you
yeah,
know
I don't know how. And I mean, I've been in worse situations. I've been in scarier situations. This isn't that bad, you know. Like so I just sat there for a while and kind of meditated on that a little bit, you know. And then I'm like, well, what now? So I start. I just was compelled to just walk up to the beach, and I look in the water and I look at the ocean in front of me. And again, no one's around, and I'm like, I can go right or left, basically. So I'm
choose
like,
your own adventure.
Yeah, so I'm like, oh I'm my gonna God. Go. So something just told me to go left. So I went left, and I just walk and I walk, and I'm looking at the ocean and the water, and I'm walking, and part of me is kind of looking for the stuff, but part of me is just walking, you know, there's nothing else to do, right? And I think it was about, I want to say about 100, 150 yards. It's pretty far. I kind of was losing sight of my stuff. And I like look out and I see something floating out there, and I'm like I think that's, no and way. I like wade no out way. There and I pick it up and it's my bag of stuff.
Oh my God.
And I mean, it's
man.
Sealed, like everything's in there, it's fine. And I walk back and I'm like, all right, time to eat, you know, and like time to, and I'm like, it was funny because part of me was like not freaking out because it fulfilled my, everything's gonna be okay, everything
right.
is fine, you know what I mean? But yeah, part of me is like, where the fuck is anyone I could tell this
oh
to?
My God.
Like, no one's gonna believe this, you know? Like, this is fucking miraculous.
What's beautiful is,
you know
like,
what I mean?
that was your, the gift. I feel like I'm getting this vibe that, like, that was the gift to you because you were calm, because
yeah,
you trusted.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I mean,
like,
that is kind of how it works.
No,
I was
you
like,
do
you
know?
Get hey, high five, buddy. You
yeah,
know, it's
yeah,
like,
yeah.
good job.
Because you're
oh
allowing when you do that, then once again, you're allowing the blessing to come in. Because if you're filling it with the panic and anxiety, it doesn't allow for the solution to come.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, exactly. And I know that. That's, I know that well. It's kind of like when I'm late to something.
Crazy.
Like, I know if I freak out, I'm going to be late. But if I actually, the calmer I stay, the more somehow on time I am.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I know that. I don't know how
if I'm
going to
take
why.
A bus or a car, I'll be like, oh, yeah. fuck, it's coming 15 minutes. The time it takes me for you like, calm down, I could just sit there or I could walk and then I get to my car and it's the same, leaving at the same
yeah,
time.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So yeah.
type of situation.
So there is something to that, yeah.
And especially when you have a whole series of those examples built up in your brain, mm-hmm. that becomes like
you
a reservoir of information.
It's a possibility.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, and you know what's so beautiful about that is that you're speaking from a true experience,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you have these, and especially when we say stuff out loud, it really, we get to hear our own echo, so to speak. We
yeah,
we get
yeah,
to go,
yeah.
ah, oh yeah, I really agree with what I just said. You know, that's good. I like that. You know, and then you can, like, especially since you...
I feel like everyone's cheating and going down.
Oh,
no, I don't know.
To the... doesn't matter.
But see, if they
but
rush,
wouldn't that be awesome if we were the last three? Now that's the kick-ass thing. We're the punctuation mark
right,
to the whole
then,
thing.
Yeah, actually,
then he
there isn't
with
three
with
numbers
us,
in the book.
Yeah.
He's like, you know what? Yeah.
It was the last
holy
three.
Holy shit.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what? Wouldn't that be funny if because he was talking about those numbers.
Mm.
What if I was thinking, well, those numbers are actually in the book. Those are the page numbers.
Yeah, right,
well,
right,
that
right. I know, that's what
brain,
I thought of,
I was thinking, what if that was
his
clever little way of playing?
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
But wouldn't that be awesome if we were the last three that go up there and then we're like, okay, Lynch, I challenge you to a breakdance contest.
Yeah, we could say, like, you know, like, 25, I found it. Here it is. And then it could be like you.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
oh, yeah. That would be awesome.
So we got to try it.
Okay, mm-hmm. So 25, 17, and what was the other? Oh, 16, right?
Six?
I only remember 25, so that's much.
Okay, 25.
Did you say, I think six and 14? I don't know.
Oh, shoot.
15.
Are you sure?
15, 25,
no,
and 17.
No, because 25 is also in 5. Shit.
I thought it was like 7.
6? I thought it was... Okay. Sorry.
Well, it doesn't matter now. I guess if we see a number, we'll see it, right?
But that's what I'm saying.
That's true.
It's in there. It's in the page.
And so, unless he wrote numbers
I mean, what
that
the hell, dude?
Like
you
that.
Manifested... You manifested gloves.
Yeah.
And...
I lost a baggie of, you know...
Yes.
Money.
Were they green gloves by any chance?
No, black.
Did you battle a Bob
no. That would be way too
so you manifested the glove, you got the gloves, you got your wallet out there. Mm. Why wouldn't you be able to manifest the magic number?
That's why I'm looking at every page.
Yeah. So you still have not seen the Art Life movie, right? Is that what you're
I
saying?
Haven't yet, no. But yeah, I mean,
yeah,
I'm sure my name is in the
like
credits
it.
Too, because, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your name's gonna be in there.
That's cool.
Oh, I just thought of one really cool one. But yeah, my lover from Germany, when we went on a motorcycle ride, this was just a month ago, we were heading to Poland, we're like, okay, so we checked the Doppler radar, like, every step, because we're on a bike, and he's trying to make sure that I don't get wet, and we're like, okay, and we finally get to the spot where we're like, it doesn't say that it's gonna rain here, but we know it is, and he's just like, I have to, we talked about it forever, and he's just like, went on his phone, and then got a room, and right when we parked the motorcycle and like when it was just thunder and like full on storm.
Oh,
I had to give him mad props for that.
Oh,
like
wow.
He followed his intuition, was just like, you know,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
It was
cool.
Like not
cool.
anything we talked about.
Yeah,
he just had to do it. And when it was like, fuck, for like 13 hours, like rain. Like, if he hadn't pulled the trigger, we wouldn't have had a place to stay or anything.
That's good.
I know. I'll have to tell him later.
So you were saying that you, you'd experienced synchronicities, and did you say he doesn't necessarily, or he appreciates synchronicities, but not necessarily like volunteers them, or?
I think within our, which it just ended, but I think in our time frame, I think that there was little stuff that would, I call them like in homeopathy, it's provings. But yeah, I'd be like, okay, well, I'm not going to say it. I had to like LeVar Burton and be like, don't take my word for it. But then he started like, because he believed a little, started believing a lot. And even even with us meeting, he said it was a cultural thing. I don't know if that's true, but he was just like, I can't think of things that I haven't already seen.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Wow.
And that kind of blew my mind. I don't know. But, like, I don't know if that's true because I wasn't raised to fucking see any of this shit.
Yeah, right.
At all. And I would venture to say, like, given because our background is like, okay, I would say middle to lower middle class, like that's how I was raised, and he was raised in a different country in a small town but with way more money, and like, okay, well, if we're doing it that way, like, at least you could have like probably afforded to see movies, books, or anything else that would have turned you on to that, because you had all of these things available to you that I didn't. I was locked in my room till I was 13. I had to make up my own shit.
So you kind of lived in imagination for a long time.
That's
so you became
really
very well acquainted with that imagination.
Yeah.
And that's why, actually, when Dave was talking about daydreaming and stuff like that, a lot of the shit that I did when I was younger, I do now, like, super young at heart, where I'm just like, I can kind of only go there. It's depending on how you look at it. Like, oh, you, like, daydream all the time. Or, like, yeah, that's, like, why I think shit's fun.
Yeah.
That's why it's fun for me.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's really, I mean, we always had this argument whether it was nature versus nurture, you know? Mm-hmm. If it's because you were born in a bubble or you made the bubble yourself, if you chose to live in the bubble.
Yeah.
If you
saw
outside the bubble and saw there were other things, if you tried to puncture the bubble at all.
I'm wondering, like, stuff that you had in your imagination growing up, were you sure that they could be real at some
point? Well, that was... It's funny because you mentioned when you manifested the gloves, you were at a younger age.
Yeah.
I did just start manifesting. Like, it wasn't until I started actually leaving my room and being around people that told me that things weren't real and things couldn't happen, that shit kind of started going away.
Yeah.
Like, I would just... My parents were super strict. I had fashion magazines. I would just make my own clothes, like, try and inundate that. I would remember. I had a really photographic memory. I would remember names and places in New York. I would never go, and I just somehow would be in New York. Somehow I was, like, eating a burger with, like, a rapper that I wanted to. There's no fucking reason at all why I should be meeting these people. I'm poor as fuck and never met anybody. And it wasn't until people were going, you know, like, you shouldn't believe in that, or like, no, you can't, why would that happen, that I would just be like, well, you would know more than me because you weren't locked in a room. It's really been a lot of work trying to get back to that, which is the not giving a fuck and literally not listening to anything that anyone says. And your dreams will come true. That's when all my dreams came true.
Yeah.
But I listen to fucking anybody.
Well, that's true. No, I've never listened to anybody. So,
well, yeah, I mean, but it's like,
literally,
it was hard.
And that's actually my advice to a lot of people all the time.
It's hard, too, because I knew that.
Yeah.
I have to remember, but there's also something that happened to me that, like, I know when that moment happened, which was when I got raped. And I was a teenager. And up until that point... Like, it really is like a spirit being broken. It fucks your reality up.
Yeah.
It was really hard for me to... And then I started doing it again. Yeah, because it grounds you in this way that you're like, oh, wait, someone can fuck your shit up.
Yeah.
And it's, like, not even hard. It's, like, not even hard to do. Which is crazy. And I just started manifesting just, like, being a badass and no one ever being able to, like, touch me again. Which that was a truth as well. Mm-hmm. Like, in New York, I could walk around and people like, don't fuck with Roxanne. She'll be, like, I'm scrawny as fuck. People be like, Roxanne will really show you another part of yourself when she beats your ass. That was a whole, and that wasn't me before that. So there's, like, it's weird to know and then not know and then know you didn't know and now try and know again. That's where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
It was really, and I guess to say one major synchronicity is the fact that I had met you before. I didn't remember, but now I fully remember, and the fact I really needed to have this conversation.
Wait a second. Now, how did you two meet?
A long time ago.
Yeah, I don't know how long ago. It was maybe like 7-8 years ago.
Yeah, 7 or 8 years ago.
I don't know, we were just
in San Francisco.
I was living in Oakland near San Francisco, and you were visiting, I think. And I went out with, like, some of my friends, and she was friends with one of my friends, or a couple of my friends, and so we just had a night out.
Karaoke.
Oh, my karaoke. God.
Super fun.
Yeah. And then at one point, somewhere along the line, like, somewhere on Instagram, I think that she was, like, in a picture with one of my friends, mutual friends. And so it's kind of thing like, oh, I remember her. She was fun, you know, and I, like, started following her. And that was probably a couple of years ago. I don't know, probably, like a long time ago. Yeah, yeah. And then, yeah, just tonight we also, when you were practicing German.
Germany.
Yeah, she said something, posted something about German, and she wants to practice German, and I speak German because I lived there for a year. And so then I just messaged her, and we just practiced some German.
So and did then, you two know that you were going to be here?
No, this is...
Oh, my God,
so
what?
German thing was probably about a month ago.
Yeah, that was right before I went.
And then today, it's really funny because I had tickets for this a long time ago. I knew I didn't have anyone to bring. Now, the funny thing is that I actually didn't want to bring anyone. Like I didn't want to bring any of my friends. I just felt like no one would be into it, no one would appreciate it. Mm. And I was actually kind of planning on coming alone, and I put a couple feelers out to a couple friends who I kind of knew would probably say no, but I'm like, at least I tried.
Yeah.
And then like,
but then you kind of were really trying either.
Yeah.
Funny.
And then in the afternoon, I was actually about to go in a meeting, and it just like popped in my head. For some reason, it popped in my head to like ask you. And so I just asked her over the Instagram instant message, and then
needed this.
Yeah, God, that's so kick-ass that you happen to be available for this. I mean, that's...
Yeah. Well,
that you two now... Well, I mean, maybe I'm just assuming, unless you drove all the way out from San Francisco to be here today.
No. We both live here now.
Yeah.
But I mean, literally, we haven't like seen each other since that day, God. Like 8 years ago.
No, we're like, oh my God, this is great. Dave was just so cool.
Yeah, I know. So this is literally the second time we've seen each other in our lives, you know what I mean?
You know, David Lynch is like such a beacon. You know, and then you got no choice but to meet.
And I will have to say, for an LA line, as long as it was, there was a lot of nice people in it.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that's cool. That's
cool.
You know, LA lines aren't that nice. But everyone was all, I know, like just talking. That was really cool. I feel like there's a lot of conversations. Well, maybe not.
Yeah.
Maybe not that many people are speaking to people they don't know.
I'm saw really happening glad you in the line around. When I was like, I think like, you know, when you're tuned into the same, like we were talking earlier, like to being tuned into the same channel. I mean, the fact you have to appreciate a particular amount of surreality and absurdity if you like David Lynch's stuff. And also I think if you appreciate a higher consciousness type of stuff, higher vibes,
like so many things have happened synchronous in my life and like so many, like it doesn't surprise me. Like it's not it's amazing and really cool that you were available and you were willing to go and like it's very easy to, you know, we get along really easy and all that. But then again, it's like kind of doesn't surprise me because that's just kind of the way things go.
Yeah.
And it's awesome. You know what I mean?
And it did come to you in a way. So it was like.
Yeah. And like I love that about life. It's like why I love life. You know what I mean? For like these kinds of moments.
Well, and that's beautiful too. Like that idea of the magic being a commonplace thing. I mean, what a beautiful. Like if that's just the regular vibe that you're on, like if that's the jumping off point, magic, and that's just a commonplace thing, holy shit.
Well, I learned huge risks are like where kind of where magic happens because you have to throw yourself into the unknown. And that's where, like, what you know, the guy you were dating said something. I relate to that because I do think that most of us, in general, because we're comfortable with what's known to us, our go-to to remain comfortable is to recreate the same experiences again and again.
And I think that's where it's like, I've never been comfortable. I never had a safe place, so I was always escaping, and I'm like, fuck it, I'll free fall into anything because I have no memory at all of a place that would be better than something cool and new because I just never had that.
Yeah. I mean, I relate to that too. I think that's why.
And
wow.
For that to
be the default mode, oh my God, it's so powerful.
That is the default.
And I want it to be like, for a long time, it felt like escaping and then it was like the fight or flight thing or like survivalist. But now I really do believe, finally at fucking 33 years old, that this whole place is my home. Like, everywhere I'm going to be safe.
Yeah.
That's how I really feel now. Mm. I don't have to feel like I have to be invincible and this solid piece of matter to, like, protect myself. It's that I'm going to be taken care of. And I think I really tested that in, like, a not positive situation when I went to jail for the first time.
Oh, wow, okay.
And I was just like, I have no idea how to be in jail.
And
it was also for something I wasn't supposed to be in jail for, that after they're like, oh, sorry. But I had to be in jail for 5 fucking days in Camp Verde.
Oh,
in a
sorry?
High security
That's what I got?
Prison with people that are going to death row. Were driving 5 under the speed limit because that's when they were doing that racist fucking thing where they could just stop you, and my brother and my mom are dark. And I was just like, I'm gonna be fine. And I was more than fine. I actually gave somebody the Heimlich maneuver before I got out.
Oh my god.
When was this?
I think it was right after I met you, to be honest.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. But I'd gone back to New York, and then I had left New York. Mm. And, because there was 3 bad things that happened. I had gotten bit by a poisonous spider. I had gotten a blood infection. I had started fainting because of probably poor nutrition and everything else. And I fainted one day in my friend's house and hit my... that little part of your like your gum on a metal bed frame, and she was gone. It knocked me out, and then I bled out. Your mouth bleeds a lot. She thought I was dead from a mouth cut.
Yeah, because I mean,
and then I think I got in a car accident, and I was like, okay, New York, I got it. Cool, I'm going. Don't worry, like, I'm leaving. So I went to live with my mother, and in the first 2 weeks, I wanted to do something nice to her. For her. I didn't have a car, but I had my license, what I thought. So I was driving her up to Flagstaff, and then on that road, we got pulled over because of the speed limit, but they pulled her and my brother out of the car because they were dark.
They were going over the speed limit?
I was going, like, it was construction, I think I was going, like, 4 over. We're not supposed to go any over.
Wait, I gotta put this on airplane mode just to make sure that no one calls while I'm in the middle of recording you guys. This is just golden, is what it is. So, how long ago did you move out here?
It would be like 7 years ago, and in between that, I've lived a couple other places.
So, how do you like it out here since being here?
I like it. And randomly, like, just the most random people in my life are moving to LA and congregating here. And I guess it's weird, but it's not. I always feel like I'm on the outskirt of something that's happening, and then all of a sudden it's around me, and then I have to leave because it's too much. That's how Brooklyn felt for me.
Yeah.
I kept moving farther and outer, but farther out to afford it and be near my friends, and then it would just all of a sudden be engulfing me, and I would just be like, I don't need to be in the happening. I started this. I'm leaving. Do you know? Like, I'm just gonna... But with the jail thing... Yeah, so I got taken to jail.
5
then,
days, you say?
Huh?
You were there 5 days in jail?
It was, like,
in your family
a Thursday. My mom was there, but she didn't really have any money. And they, I also, because I was in the middle of this weird place, and I don't really know the details of everything, but there weren't real judges there. And the judges were out because it was the weekend, and then when I actually spoke to a judge, it was a video judge in a different place on a little tiny video screen.
That sounds so science fiction.
To a chair. Yeah, it was really weird. But in all that, so yeah, that's my first time going to jail. I'm just like, it's the shape of a fucking pentagon. It's like Jailhouse Rock. I'm just like completely overwhelmed. It's, my cell block is two stories, all white. There's just a thin piece of window because everyone's in full lockdown. We have 20 minutes of free time a day. And I don't know why I'm there. I'm also on medication because of the spider that bit me, and I tell them, and they're like, don't even find out what medication I'm on. They just send a sergeant three times a day to force a fucking pill in my throat. They don't tell me it is. So three times a day, I then puke up the pill. There was just, I had to share like a bunk with this girl, like tan girl, who'd like steal my Kool-Aid to like paint her fucking 1,000 paper cranes. She tried to...
It seems very like dream. I mean, I'm sorry. It seems like
I know. And I, through this whole thing, I'm not really talking. And then there's this one time where I clearly was taken care of by another entity, not myself. They're listening to television really loud. And I just get out of my cell and I walk over the remote and turn it off and say it's too fucking loud and walk back into my cell block. And nobody does anything to me.
Wow. Probably asserted some dominance.
Wow.
Or something, you know what I mean?
Like, you were so committed to that character.
Like, yeah, whoa. If you don't blink, people don't know.
Yeah.
So it was. It was really committing the character and being like, and I'm going to walk back into my cell like I fucking mean it. And I did it. Nobody did anything. The last day, no one really fucked with me. I took notice and things. Some people tried to like have me pass notes, which is against the rule, to the next cell block. There's just a fucking weird door. Nothing really crazy happened until the last day. And I have no idea what's going on. Like, I talk to my bail bondsman. They're like saying it's cash. My mom doesn't have the money. All this shit. So I was like, now I really don't even know how long I'm going to be here, which is really terrifying. I don't know how much longer I keep turning the show off. No, so. We're at lunchtime of the last day. And this older lady who I know is on death row, she starts just coughing. And I'm like, okay, noticed, eating. She gets up after a while and goes to her cell. And that's when I was like, something's really wrong because nobody leaves. You don't leave your food. I learned that in 5 days.
Yeah.
You get a certain amount of fucking food. Some people will share it. Some people will still jack your food if you're still there, but you don't leave your food.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, shit. So I just ate the rest of the food on my plate, and then I went in her cell, and she's, like, turning blue.
Oh.
And I'm just, like, literally just remember from the restaurants I worked in, I asked permission. I was like, do you want me to give you the Heimlich? And she just did that.
Yeah.
And she was bigger than me. And I just put my fist on her sternum and threw her against the wall 3 times.
Oh, my God.
So, and it was cream corn, and it came up. Just like you would see in the poster.
Yeah.
And she breathed again.
Oh, my God.
I was just like, and 15 minutes later, I got out, and everyone was just like that. And then I used that opportunity to just say that, let that be a lesson to you.
Oh, shit. Oh, my God.
I know that's not why.
I didn't know.
Let that be a lesson to you.
No, but to take care of each other.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Still, yeah.
You know, I'm just like, you have, like, who knows?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's not why. It was because that's how I got the bail, but...
Wow.
And I hadn't talked. I think besides the turn the show off thing, I hadn't spoken. So when I finally got bailed out, like, I went to open my mouth. It was just, like, cry. Like, I couldn't...
Yeah,
I still
couldn't
speak words.
Wow.
So that woman was on death row? So you saved her life?
Yeah.
Mm. That's so intriguing.
And who knows what that means? I don't know what happened after that, you know?
I mean...
Maybe she got off, but we, like, when we think about how many choose your own adventures we just talked about,
yeah.
who fucking knows what happened after that? Or why I was there to do that. I have no idea. That story still is just amazes myself because I...
The whole thing sounds like a
yeah.
crazy thing. I mean, like,
oh, yeah.
Did you kind of question reality when you were in there?
Yeah, and then yeah. the fact that like every time I've been in jail, there's nothing on my record. Because it's all not even been my fault.
Right, right.
I just had to go through it.
So it was like a,
I just had yeah. to go through it.
How did you get out? How did you actually get out of there?
This is Robert from Twin Peaks, and you're listening to Inspirado Projecto.
Got a light?